Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Tamara Stark, your moderator for today's show, and I'm so pleased to be with you. And in particular, I'm very excited to have our guest today, Pete Walsh, who is an MCC coach, which is a master certified coach. And Pete is the owner of Peak Workout Business Coaching, where over the past 13 years, he and his team have been helping senior leaders stretch out of their comfort zone and find new levels of leadership that create business results. Pete is also a co-founder of our ICF Phoenix chapter and is on the faculty of the Adler School of Professional Coaching. In 2010, he published his book, Coach to Win the Leadership Game. And he has a very interesting project that we'll talk with him more about in the show that he's starting, of a family business coach TV program. It's a new and interactive resource for family businesses that are addressing leadership challenges, communication, and succession issues in their business. Pete spent 16 years in his own family business and thoroughly enjoys helping other family businesses solve complex issues of mixing family and business together. So, Pete, welcome for today.
Thank you, Tamara. It's great to be here.
Yes, and so for all of you in Blog Talk Radio land, if you're listening to us live, your guest call-in number is 424-243-9638. Please feel free to call in at any time and ask a question. We'd love to hear from you. And also, please pass this on to others. You can post it on your Facebook or whatever to let other people know, too, about this fabulous show, because you can listen to it anytime. Pete, tell us a little bit about Peak Workout Business Coaching and what you do in your firm to assist family businesses in particular, but also senior leaders.
You know, coaching is always about giving objective feedback and creating partnerships with people. And I think this is a fun time to be a business coach, because the Olympics just ended. And we see very clearly on the Olympics these coaches that are waiting close by, celebrating successes, standing by when performance doesn't go just perfectly. And in our business, we do that with business leaders. So we create a partnership. We give them feedback. We help them improve their technique. And we're there to help celebrate the successes, and we're also there when things don't quite go so well. So that's really what we do. We help senior leaders be more effective.
What types of family businesses have you worked with over the past few years, Pete?
You know, I work with family businesses of all sizes and shapes. So some of them are, you know, smaller, younger organizations, or might have a handful of employees. And then I have some family businesses that are national in scope and have lots of locations and employees and are in their fourth or fifth generation. So, but all of them have similar challenges in terms of communication and trying to identify who the successors are and the best way to mix family and business. And so what's really interesting is what I find is no matter the size or shape, most of the challenges are pretty universal or fundamental. And I guess truthfully, Tamara, that's the same thing in corporate leadership, that many of the challenges are similar across all industries.
So what do you think differentiates coaching a family business from coaching a corporation that may have been founded by a family but now is, you know, either on the stock exchange or is more independent, is no longer a family-run business?
Yeah, I think one of the ways I like to say it is that I believe that the family business is like business with a soul, and I don't mean to say the wrong thing about corporate America. But in those family businesses, there's this other layer of kind of legacy and history and emotional connection to the founder. And so what I would say is in the family business, there's much more in terms of the multiple layers of what's going on. So they're trying to produce a business result, but they've also got family issues they're trying to resolve. And I think in the corporate world, you know, sometimes that's not quite there. They're simply focused on the business result. But in the family business, there's a few different layers of challenges going on.
Are the relationships generally more intense than in a family business?
Well, I think in the family business, you'd have a lot more baggage, maybe what we might call sometimes baggage. But so siblings are now, you know, running different divisions of the company, but they're still acting like and working like, you know, acting together like they were when they were kids in the station wagon on vacation. There's some competitiveness. There's some, you know, trying to look better than the other. And so I think in the family business, you get you have a much deeper history of relationship than you do in the corporate world. In the corporate world, people maybe haven't been working together as long or haven't certainly grown up together. And I think in the family business, sometimes they're competing for mom or dad's affection or mom or dad's acknowledgement of who's better. And so that's what makes it very interesting. But I must tell you, I thoroughly enjoy it because there's also a high degree of pain in these family businesses. There's a feeling of frustration and many times a feeling like folks are, you know, they don't have many choices. And one of the things, and you know, one of the bedrocks of coaching is that we have a choice in almost everything that we do in our lives. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do in the coaching in family businesses is to help people see that they still do have choices about working in the business, how they work in the business, the perspective they're taking about being in the business. So I think that's an important part of coaching.
So, Pete, do you find that sometimes in working with the family business that it's harder for people to move out of their traditional role or stance because it's such a habit within the family? And so stretching, as you said earlier, into out of their comfort zone, is it more challenging, do you think, than if they were in a more corporate environment where the relationships aren't quite as strong historically?
Well, I think it's a really good point. And I think, yeah, that's would be my experience of it. But the other thing that I think, and one of the things I'm working on with so many of my families now, is that many folks that go into a family business have limited or no experience outside of the business. So in many times there could be a lack of confidence or a lack of identity because they haven't been out in other places. And one of the more intriguing things that we're doing in family business is we're really helping them set policy and agreements about future participants in the business so that now when the 20-year-olds are coming out of high school and college and wanting to enter the business, we're helping them create policies and shared agreements about sending these youngsters out on what I call a mission. That's what I'm calling it now.
Right.
But like really encouraging and almost demanding that they go out and get outside experience. Because, you know, what happens is when some of these things, some of these challenges come up, people have limited, you know, experiences outside of the business. So I think it's a good point. They haven't been stretched, or sometimes what comes up is we realize they really haven't been held accountable like you are in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
In the family business, sometimes the holding family members accountable for business results gets a little bit sloppy, gets a little bit too friendly, And at the end of the day, I'm trying to remind my clients that, you know, you have to have a well-run business for the family business to be sustainable.
Right.
So I think it's
future
a good,
generations.
No question. So
yeah.
So to your point, sometimes when we try to go challenge, and the other thing that we see, Tamara, is that, you know, usually, again, this is a pattern, but usually there's one or two siblings that are high performers and one or two that are not as high a performer. And one of the things that we do in coaching is to try to bring up objectivity to all of that. So instead of your big brother telling you to do better, the coach can bring in a measuring stick, a way to measure performance, and help bring some objective feedback about what people are doing. And
mm-hmm.
that's one of the reasons I like to have one foot in family business and one foot in corporate America, because truthfully, I learn a lot, and I see a lot of really great best practices in corporate America about how to measure performance. So then I bring
yeah,
some
that
of that over.
Yeah, you can bring to the family business side
right.
of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And I try to depersonalize it. So I say, like, hey, over at this bank, here's how they measure your productivity. And so let's try to measure productivity that way in this family business, and let's not even put names next to it for a moment. And that's an important new muscle for the family to start to build.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because as in a lot of organizations, the particularly first and second generation families, somebody built the business because they either had a skill or a passion, and that passion and then needed to get surrounded by effective ways of doing things that could be passed on to others. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah,
it sounds like very interesting work you're doing, though. And and it leads me to a question of how you are helping the family businesses prepare for succession to and transition to the next generations of leadership.
Yeah, well,
so tell us a little bit about that work that you're doing, Pete.
Well, one thing I want to go back to what you said also, which is really important. So usually when grandfather or grandmother started the business, it was like somewhat of a reasonable size. But now when we get to the second and third generation, it can become much bigger, more complex. And as we know, in today's business world, the business world itself has gotten more competitive and more complex. So someone that ran a small operation with 20 employees, but now in the third generation there's 200 employees and many complex relationships to manage. So with some of the families, we're trying to help them understand that it may not even be realistic to expect this third generation person to be the president. So what we encourage families to do, and what some families are doing, is hiring executives, hiring outside family members, so that the family members still can have a role in the business. They can be on the board. It's sometimes what we call, Tamara, going from owner operator to owner investor. So in the world of succession, what we're trying to do is help them establish the leadership competencies, decide what's needed, what does the job need, what kind of skills and experience. And then in coaching, as you know, we can, again, help create benchmarks. So when they have four members in the third generation, we can more objectively help them evaluate each person's unique skills and talents versus what the job really requires. And you know, unfortunately, and again, this was the case in my family business, that, you know, like some people have dreams of running their family business someday, and that's a wonderful dream, but if you don't have the right skill set, it's not good for the family business to make the younger, the oldest son, the next president, just because, you know, that's the way we've always done it. If they're not equipped to be the president, that's doing a real disservice to not only the family, but the shareholders, the stakeholders of the business, and the person taking the job. So, as you know, coaching's about objectifying all of that, helping people look with a new set of eyes and be, sometimes we say in coaching, be a different observer, that they can see the dynamics and see what the business needs without all of the emotion going on.
Right. Yeah, so that, Pete, how would you describe the difference between coaching a family business versus being a consultant to a family business?
It's a really, really good question. A consultant typically brings a lot of information and is transferring information. So a consultant would come and say, here's lots of other things you need to know and that you should implement. And as you know, one of the bedrocks of coaching is that the client has many of their own answers. So in coaching, we're trying to facilitate the dialogue. We're trying to ask the right questions. And the other thing is that coaching is a process over time. So on the Olympics, I noticed that Michael Phelps' coach had been coaching him for many, many years, and they've developed a long relationship, and they really get to know each other and what their strengths and opportunities for improvement. So I have some families I've worked with for several years, helping them reach new levels of results. So I think also coaching, again, is like this partnership that can take time, can happen over a long period of time. But the fundamentals difference between coaching and consulting is that coaching is really about helping the client find their answers, hold them accountable, give them kind of a process to do that. And consultant is the expert. The consultant, you know, knows more. Now, in truth, in the work that I do, because I was in my family's business, there's a little bit of that going on. There's a little bit of sharing of best practices, but it's mostly about giving the client choice about what they want to work on next and holding them accountable and helping them with a process to do that.
So would you say, too, Pete, that some of your best work with family businesses is when you are able to work with them long enough to really see a change in habits and attitudes and processes?
No question, and I think that's something that we all agree and we all see in the coaching industry. So Michael Phelps' coach probably wouldn't have been as effective to just spend a couple sessions with him, tell him he ought to do this with his arms, or he had to move his shoulders that way and then go away, that coaching is an ongoing process so that you can help, you know, build muscle and keep building on that. And the other thing that I want to say that I think is unique about what I do is I use the sports analogy a lot, and you can see that my business name is Peak Workout Business Coaching, but I like to have some fun. I like to almost like the sports coach, and I wear a whistle, and the whistle is incorporated in kind of some of the things that we show at the website, and have some fun, get people playing, get them in a different mindset, in a different mood. And I think this is another important piece of coaching, that many people have ideas, they have different styles, and obviously we know the folks that are interested in coaching have to find a style that fits their personality or their culture of their business. But in particular, in the family work that I do, I try to bring a certain amount of gamesmanship and a certain amount of fun, because if you think about it, many families, we all played board games as kids, and we learned how to engage in games. So I think of my family business coaching almost like a track meet. So there's lots of different events at any given meet. Communication, problem solving, difficult conversations, and so when we get the families together, we decide, okay, what events should we have at this particular workout? And so that gets people a little less tense, a little bit more open, and, you know, the brain scientists have proven to us now that when we have a bit of humor, when we have a bit of lightness, we have much more access to creativity. And when we're tense and we have stress, the creative part of our brain, we don't have access to that. So I think that's the other important thing about playing and getting them in a different spirit so that they can be more resourceful and build new muscle.
Pete, so you really do get to whistle while you work.
I do. I do.
Right.
I do.
Yes. I remember that song with the seven dwarfs from Snow White years ago.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I'd like to remind our listeners, if you're on with us live, you can reach us at 424-243-9638. We would look forward to your questions. And so, Pete, I know that you've been involved in the coaching world for quite a while. Tell us what brought you into coach training and why you decided to become a coach rather than continue in your family business and, you know, in the same vein that you were doing before you took on coaching.
It's an interesting story. I hope you'll find it interesting and the listeners will find it interesting. But I was at church with my wife and kids 14 years ago. And what I like to say is that I'm highly spiritual, although not highly religious. I'm a recovering Catholic, I like to say. I was at church, and the sermon was about finding your special gift. And I prayed in that moment, and I said, help me find what mine is, because I know I can hit a home run for you. Those were my exact words. And then 2 days later, a friend of mine told me about her coach. And I said, your coach, what's that? And she said, someone that holds us accountable, helps us develop new strategies for what we're going to do. And in that moment, I got it. I had 150 employees. I loved what I did. But in my family business, it was evident that it might be years, if ever, that I was going to get to run the business. And I had lost two brothers and two best friends that stood up for me in my wedding. And I had decided life was short. And so my life turned on a dime. I went home and told Karen. I said, you know, remember the sermon Sunday? And I prayed, and I heard about coaching. I hired a coach. I love the work that we did. And I asked Karen if I could start over. And I went to my family at the family business, and I'd been there 16 years. I was a vice president. And I said, I'm going to go do something else. And that's what I did. And I went out and got coach training, which is an important part of the coaching profession, is to get the right kind of coaching training. And then I went out and started knocking on doors and telling people that I was an executive and leadership coach, and have built my practice ever since.
That's exciting. Congratulations. And I know that you also were one of the founding members of our chapter of ICF here in Phoenix. Talk a little bit about what it was like to found a chapter with, and how did you find all those other coaches to connect with to even found the chapter?
Well, at the time, coaching and to some degree, coaching is still gelling as a profession. It's still coming together. But at the time, there were a few different groups of coaches in town, and some of us felt like, and some of us still feel like, the ICF, the International Coach Federation, is the strongest, most global, most professional coaching organization. So many of us said, we want to put a stake in the ground. We want to be an ICF chapter. And there was a fair amount of kind of wrestling about and going back and forth, but we did iron it out. We did decide to become an ICF chapter. I was an ICF member before that. But we really felt that the ICF gave us the right framework. You know, the ICF, as you know, has many things that it brings to the table, some of which that are so important are our ethics, our code of conduct, our credentialing. And so many of us felt that the ICF could really create a framework in which we could be held accountable to who we were, what we were doing, and as you know, and want to encourage the listeners that we have really a great chapter. We have good meetings. We have so many participants at the meeting. And so it's really created a venue where coaches can come together, share best practices, support each other. And, you know, as you may know, we just had our first ever ICF Prism Awards. about 60 days ago, where we honored companies that were creating great programs through coaching. And that was a great event to bring several hundred people together around coaching. So the ICF chapter has really grown and blossomed and become one of the more well-respected chapters in the country. And as you know, the ICF is a global community, so it allows us to all talk about and learn from others all over the world. And last year I was fortunate enough to go teach coaching over in Turkey, which was an extraordinary experience, and really getting to understand and really learn what coaching's about from a global perspective. So that's
yes,
how the
and
chapter
I know,
came to be.
So when you first started with the chapter here, how did you even know which coaches to contact? Because when the chapter was started many years ago, there weren't that many people even on the ICF list in Phoenix. So how did you find each other?
We found each other at La Madeleine Bakery at 32nd Street in Camelback. It's funny that you said that because I hadn't thought of that until just this moment. Alan Millam was a gentleman that came into town from San Francisco, had moved here, and he came. At the time, there was another entity, and I want to say it was the Phoenix Coaching Group or something, and we met at La Madeleine that morning, and he was the one that stood up and kind of said, "Is anybody, what are you thinking about the ICF? What's happening there?" So we kind of found ourselves at an earlier version of the coaching community, and then we added Linda Miller very shortly. Linda is a nationally renowned, just one of the really early founders of coaching. She was in our community, and we found her very quickly. And then Catherine Ross was the fourth one. And then the four of us got together and developed a vision, and it took quite a while. It took 2 or 3 years, really, even to get the chapter born. But that's how it all came to be.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're really glad you did it. It's made a big difference to those of us who are coaches in Phoenix. And I hope those of you that are listening to Blog Talk Radio, if you're not in Phoenix, go on the ICF International site and find a chapter near you that you can get engaged with, because it really does support you as a coach, but also really helps you develop your skills and talents and outreach. We hope that you're connected or can be connected to ICF somewhere. Pete, tell us a little bit about this brand new project of Family Business Coach TV.
One of the things that I believe still about coaching is that some people don't totally understand it. They get the concept. They can hear me talk about Michael Phelps and some of those sports analogies, but I'm not sure that they totally understand or have experienced coaching. And what happened was that I have a son who's a filmmaker, and we started experimenting and working with some coaching videos. It gave us a great way to collaborate together, but what we also found was that it gave people a way to start to see coaching in action, which then led to the idea of creating a place where folks could come see me coach other people, and they could see me interacting and talking to my current clients. So it really came out of the idea of having people have another experience with coaching, and also the vision for familybusinesscoach.tv is a resource center. So you can come and see some coaching. You can see some clients talking about what they got out of coaching, and then you can get some coaching lessons. So I'm a golfer, so like there's a couple of golf sites that I go to where I can click on different lessons and see the coach give me instruction for free about how to improve. So the vision for familybusinesscoach.tv is to have a resource center where families can come and, you know, download lessons and learn a little and interact with each other and really have a community where coaching can further, you know, we can further our mission with coaching. And truthfully, it's giving me a wonderful creative outlet that another way for me to broaden my reach. I have clients all over the country, but it's hard to have them experience me and experience what the peak workout can do. So this is a way for them to tune in, see it, kind of see it in action and take it for a test drive and truthfully for some of them get free coaching lessons that they can use in their business.
So are you doing a little family business with your son here with this?
Well, that's funny because I fired my son.
That happens in family businesses. It's a good thing you've had all those years of coaching to know how to do that.
I'm playing because I like to play. My son got so busy in his film career that I'm now using a local resource. My son is in Hollywood, and he started with me when he was in college, and then I just had to break the news to him a few weeks ago because he's been so busy he hasn't been able to come over and work on our show. So he's kind of inactive at the moment.
Oh, that's funny, though. But so you both have really launched each other. Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah, and it's really been wonderful. But I think it's a unique resource that's out there. This is a wonderful resource that can reach a lot of other people. And so I think this is all an expression of coaching, growing, developing, finding other ways to spread the word, to make an impact. And I know you know this, Tamara, that really at its heart, I think most everyone you find in the coaching profession genuinely wants to help people get from point A to point B. And that was back to the thing about the ICF chapter that, you know, when you hang around a bunch of coaches, these are people that are just very supportive, very collaborative. And so, you know, this Family Business Coach TV is another way to reach out and to make an impact. And as we know, so many of us are getting, you know, we're in love with technology. It's a great way to bring lots of different people together with different perspectives to create new and, you know, powerful ways to get through the world. So I think the Internet TV is just another version of that. But I plan on bringing people on via Skype. And so that we'll talk to family business owners all over the country and all over the world.
Oh, this is exciting. So give people, again, if they want to connect to it, would you give them the address again that they can get on it?
It's familybusinesscoach.tv. And that will take you into Peak Workout Business Coaching. And if you follow the links to the Family Business Coaching, you'll get to the Family Coach channel. And we're in the process right now of kind of streamlining the website, and we're working on some new versions of the show. So it's a youngster in terms of its evolution, but you'll see there are lessons up there. There are webisodes now, and so it's very, very exciting. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds like it, Pete. So congratulations, and a great resource to all of us, too, to be able to go online and see it. And Family Business Coach, by the way, is all one word.
It is.
So, .tv, so no spaces between those three words if you're looking it up online. And
yeah, instead of .com, .tv.
Pardon? I'm sorry, what did you say, Pete?
Instead of .com, it's .tv.
Oh, thank
Family
you
business.
For correcting
.tv,
me on that.
Yeah.
And again, if anybody has a question, they can reach us at 424-243-9638. Pete, you also are on the faculty of Adler School of Professional Coaching. I know that we have one on the ground here in Phoenix, and there are also schools in Toronto and other places. Tell us a little bit about being a faculty member and what you're teaching.
Adler is one of the leading schools. I feel very blessed to get to work for them. So in the Adler curriculum, there's a few different legs of the stool, if you will, and I teach the leg which is coaching in the context of work, which is wonderful because that's really the work that I do. So I teach course number 2, and that's really about how does coaching fit into businesses, executive coaching, team coaching, organizational coaching, and it was through Adler that I got to go teach in Turkey a year or so ago. But again, just a really wonderful program, the roots of which are in Adlerian psychology. And Adler is headquartered in Toronto, but I believe it's just a wonderful program, offers a great curriculum, and again, one of my ideas was that that would be a great way for me to provide a give back to the community. So for me, it's a wonderful way to help young developing coaches accelerate their mastery, if you will, or their development of the coaching skills. So it's something I do a few times throughout the year, just thoroughly enjoy it, and just so impressed with the quality of students that we're finding, seeing really what's going on in coaching in organizations. So many of the students that come to the program are coming through their company, the company sponsoring them into coaching. And you know that many organizations are really spending a lot of time and energy to get their own internal coaches credentialed. So for me, that teaching piece is a really exciting way for me to stand at the mouth of the river, if you will, and see who's coming into coaching and get to really have an impact on the coaching they're doing around the world. So, and you know, I feel very strongly that coaches, folks coming into coaching, really should make an investment in themselves and an investment in the profession to get coaching training. And I've been trained in several different places. I continue to get training, and I feel like if we're going to really live the values of what we're trying to help others live, that it's incumbent upon us to keep stretching ourselves, keep developing ourselves, and for the profession of coaching, keep moving that forward. So being a part of the Adler community is really a wonderful gift that I have.
Pete, how are you using some of what you know about family businesses and succession planning in your own business, in your peak workout business coaching business? How are you, what are you doing to assure succession planning for you and for some of your senior leaders?
We didn't cover that question, and I didn't give you permission to ask it. I'm playing again. I'm sorry. I'm being a smart aleck. That's a great question. I didn't realize you were going to challenge me and push me. I love it. So, you know, funny that you ask, because part of my vision for familybusinesscoach.tv is that that would be a place that I could hand that off to someone in another 5 or 10 years. I really felt like that was a way for me to create a community, a place, and a brand. And the peak workout process, part of how all that got invented was that, and this is part of what's going on in coaching, is rather than just kind of magically creating these results, the peak workout process becomes more of a recipe that can be followed time and time again. So that allows me to work with other coaches, train other coaches, for us all to work together in a similar methodology. So truthfully, again, in coaching for the last 10, 13 years, you know, really having a lot of satisfaction and a lot of success. But now you start to think about, well, what's going to happen? How's this going to carry forward without you? And that's where peak workout process came along, and then eventually the Family Business Coach TV.tv show. So those are the ideas for that vision, and that's what we're trying to make happen.
That's very exciting, Pete, and it sounds like you're really creating sustainability as well as transferability.
again, I really feel strongly about practicing what I'm trying to teach others. And so I think, you know, it's important that, and I'll ask some coaches that. I'll say to a coach, who's your coach? And, you know, I want to know, like, what are you doing? How are you trying to, you know, develop yourself, think strategically? I have three different people that are coaching me right now. And that kind of brings up another point that in coaching, and you know, I hadn't thought of this until just recently, but when I was with one of my coaches, someone coaching me, I got some really interesting ideas. And I thought, you know, this is really a beautiful thing about getting coaching from a few different people, because it's like taking all of those different perspectives and kind of blending them together. Now, one of my other people that's coaching me said, how many people are coaching you? There was a little bit of not jealousy, but like question, like who all's coaching you? But it's another thing about coaching, another new paradigm, if you will. I have some colleagues that have been working with team coaching, like three coaches going in and coaching one executive.
Wow,
so it's really
yeah.
interesting. Yeah, it's interesting
so
where
you get the best
coaching
of all
can
of it.
Go.
Yeah. So the synergy, it sounds like, works really well for you.
It does. And in my business, there's geography. So I have a gentleman on the East Coast that does some work, and I have a person on the West Coast. And so, you know, I want to spend less time on the plane. And so sometimes we can collaborate. We can, and that's a way to save the client a little money, too, in terms of travel costs and some of those things.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that there are now more and more people saying that they not only might have multiple coaches, but they may switch coaches for a period of time and then go back to people or whatever, depending on where their life is moving or what it is that they need the support for and the coaching for. And as opposed to thinking that you have to have the same coach forever, it's mostly that this whole idea that you need to be coached for a long time, but it may not have to be the same coach.
You know, it's so true. And again, I think of coaching in its purest form as a partnership, as a support system. Obviously, we don't, as coaches, we don't want to become a crutch, right? We don't want Michael Phelps. We don't want Michael Phelps not to swim a good meet if his coach isn't there. So there's that fine line. But I just absolutely love getting the feedback. I love being held accountable by others. And so for me, I'll probably always have coaches in my life. I just believe very strongly in it. And the other thing, you know, like in my book, I talk about creating a coaching culture and a coaching dialogue. Like coaching, a coaching conversation and a coaching mindset has like a different rhythm to it and a different flow, if you will. So I think, you know, like I'll joke a little bit, but, you know, I mean, in my household with my wife, with my children, you know, we're kind of coaches for each other. So, and I don't mean that you're always coaching each other, but I think that when you have a coaching mindset and you have the coaching language, you start to be more open. You're open to feedback. You can challenge each other. You can get commitments, real commitments. You know, a lot of people talk about they ought to do this and they ought to do that. But when you start to have a coaching mindset and a coaching language, you start to naturally get commitments from each other. And so I think one of the things is creating like coaching cultures in organizations and in families.
Yeah, that could make a huge difference in our society as a whole.
I think so.
Yeah.
We need more accountability, and we do need more, you know, like I'm not a workaholic. I want people to have a life. But in most business and most things in our life, I think the more we can continue to improve and get stronger. Vladimir Horowitz was the best piano player on the planet. And he said, if I stop practicing for a day, I notice. In 2 days, my wife notices. And in 3 days, the critics notice. And I thought, wow, here's the most talented piano player on the planet, but he's acknowledging, if I don't keep practicing, my skills will deteriorate. And so if he has to do that, why wouldn't we have to do that in our relationships and our businesses and in our marriages and our parenting? We got to keep practicing.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really true in my life anyway, Pete. So what challenges do you think that the profession as a whole is facing or might face in the future that we could help each other address?
Well, the ICF a couple of years ago identified, and I believe it really resonated for me, that if the consumer is unclear, then the consumer is not going to engage. And so I think the first thing is for people like you and I and for other coaches to make a commitment to the profession, to credentialing, to accountability, to training, because coaching, and it's kind of like purist, like in a generic form, we can all see like, oh yeah, it's good to get some coaching from people. But if we don't do a better job of defining what it is, how you do it, how you get credentials to do it, then coaching could suffer by not reaching its potential, by not having real clarity about what it is. But the more the consumer can know, here's my credentials, here's my process, here's my code of ethics and standards. If they don't know that, they're not going to move forward. So I think it's really incumbent upon all of us to make sure that we come together about what coaching is. And again, I find people that say, oh, I do coaching. And I say, where did you get your training? And they said, from my life's experiences. And I say that too, that many of my life experiences add to my coaching. But at the same time, I went and got training. I have participated and continue to participate in being held accountable to the results I produce. So I think coaching, one of my teachers says coaching was an intuitive response from the planet, that our current ways of teaching weren't working. And so I think that coaching has a real opportunity at this place for mankind, but we need to be careful and take good care of what coaching really is and, you know, how we measure it.
And how do you see us measuring coaching? Like, for example, could you provide some examples of how you measure your success and keep yourself accountable in this process?
Well, of course, one of the things is, like, I have some accounts that I've worked with that I've coached in for over 10 years. I have some national organizations that continue to hire me. That's one indication, I believe, one of a pretty strong indication of success. So that company sees value, and the leaders that I've coached have become more effective. They produce different business results. They advance in the organization. In the family businesses, the results we produce are families being able to create a family charter, to be able to name certain successors, to keep, like, family harmony, to enhance family harmony. And but in the corporate world, people would say that they've become more effective leaders, as evidenced by better business results, lower turnover in their organization. So these are some of the ways that we articulate the results of coaching. Now, all of that is still hard to say, like, coaching created all of this. But you know, there is a group within the ICF that's working hard to even come up with more ways of measuring coaching's effectiveness. In the last survey they did, they felt that coaching was producing a 7-to-1 return on investment. So if someone spent $5,000, they were getting 7 times that back in their investment in coaching. And I think that says a lot for coaching.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us today before we start to wind down our show?
Well, I appreciate you stretching me and keeping me on my toes and guiding such a good, productive conversation. And no, I'm just very excited about this format, this methodology. I hope it reaches many people, and I hope we can all work together to help people produce greater results and more personal satisfaction on the planet.
Okay, and before we sign off, I'm going to ask Anna if we have any callers to please bring them in now. And if not, I'm going to remind people while she's checking that our September on the ground meeting in Phoenix for our chapter is the second Wednesday of September. And our speaker is going to be Marcia Bench, who is a published author, and she's going to present her 8-part system for becoming an inspirational thought leader. That meeting will be on September 12th. Networking starts at 3:15 and the program at 4. We do provide CEUs for that. I'm sure it's going to be a fabulous program. And so we hope that you all can join us there. And then the other thing is that we meet at 4600 East Washington in the Arizona Small Business Association offices, but all of this is available to you on our website. So I encourage all of you that have been listening today to go on to Pete's site and look for familybusinesscoach.tv and check out what he's doing with family businesses, but also to spread the word about Blog Talk Radio, and if you're in the Phoenix area, please join us or at least go on our site and contact one of us in leadership to say hello and get acquainted with what we're doing in Phoenix. So, Pete, I'd really like to thank you for today's show. And Anna, thank you so much for setting everything up. And we look forward to being with you in September. We don't have a confirmation yet on the speaker, but Catherine will be back again. I had a great job filling in for her today. And again, Pete, thank you. It was a great conversation.
I enjoyed it very much.
Everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.